Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome to a 90-minute edition of Prophecy Today Weekend. So glad that you could join us. Hope you can be here for the entire 90 minutes. We've got our broadcast partners all over the world. We'll be talking with them, finding out information about current events. They will give you their insight and details behind all the headlines that you're hearing. That way, you'll be able to come to a better understanding of how current events are actually setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. I'm in temporary studios here in Glendale, Maryland. We're in the Washington, D.C. area. I'll be speaking this weekend. We had a great opportunity last night, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Faith Independent Baptist Church in Glendale, Maryland. Love to have you come over. And then three sessions tomorrow, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 6 in the evening. A study of God's prophetic word in this key regional location in the Washington, D.C. area. Come and join us if you will. Well, all of our broadcasters are standing by. Jim Jr. will join me at this broadcast table momentarily. He's got some questions from you, the listeners, and we'll be able to hopefully go to the Bible, find the answers, and give you some insight into these questions confronting you as it relates to Bible prophecy. That's a very favorite time of mine here on Prophecy Today. Well, let's go to our first broadcast partner, Ken Timmerman. He's back in the United States, very busy. He's just been able to release his brand new book. Ken, let's start with that. How's the release of the book going?
Well, it's going great, Jimmy. Thank you. ISIS Begins. It's actually one of the first novels about the Iraq War. And for anybody who served in Iraq, the central character should be pretty familiar. He's an Iraqi Christian interpreter, the type of person who, you know, worked with U.S. troops on the ground. And you'll see even in the opening sequence of the book, there he is in a takedown operation going after a jihadi terrorist. So it's a book that I think a lot of Americans who have served in Iraq will find some very familiar things in it, and familiar evil as well from the jihadi groups.
What a timely novel coming out at this particular point in history. And we're excited about your new book, Ken. Keep us posted as to how it's going. People can get it at your website or go to Amazon.com, can they not?
Right, at KenTimmerman.com, which is my website. You'll see a photograph of the cover. Just click on that. It takes you to Amazon. You can read the first chapter there online to get a feel for what it's like. And that cover photo is a real picture of an Assyrian Christian militiaman with a full moon behind him. It's a pretty dramatic cover, actually.
I tell you what, don't dare read that first chapter unless you want to have to buy the book. It'll get you so excited, you'll have to read the entire book. Well, Ken, you have just returned from Europe. Vladimir Putin is making some arrangements to meet with a man, President Trump, who has been all week long very busy at the NATO summit with the European Union members. And Vladimir Putin is going to have talks with President Trump. But what's so interesting to me is that the president of Russia had a conversation, in fact brought him to Moscow, with the opportunity to interact with the prime minister of Israel, Netanyahu, but also had conversations with King Abdullah. And we talked about that last week, but as we get closer to the summit there between Putin and Trump, these were two very important conversations as well, were they not?
Well, yes, of course. And Putin, again, has become a power broker in the Middle East. This is the first time Russia has really had this type of influence since the depths of the Cold War, I'd say since the mid-1980s, actually. And Putin has very skillfully reinserted Russia into the Middle East. They now have revived their military bases in Syria just this past week. In fact, while President Trump was meeting with NATO allies in Brussels, the Russian Navy, their Mediterranean fleet, which had been virtually non-existent for decades, is back. They were holding live firing exercises with cruise missiles off the coast of Syria. So the Russians are back, and that is big news. I'm not sure it's particularly good news.
Yeah, that is for sure. And I'm sure those conversations between all three of these world leaders, key to the future and what is going to take place. The focus on Iran, of course, and Syria, top of the agenda. And it's also very interesting to me that the defense minister there in Israel, Avigdor Lieberman, saying that pro-Iranian forces are actually setting up a terror infrastructure in the Syrian Golan Heights, that part of the Golan Heights that extends north of the border there with Syria and Israel, north into Syria. And at the same time up there, there's a top Iranian general who is saying, hey, we're going to wait right here. Our Islamic army is set awaiting a order to eradicate Israel. Boy, this is very interesting.
Well, that's right. Things have gotten very, very hot. This is a frontier that has been calm up until a year ago and calm since 1973. The Israelis are up on the Golan Heights, so there is a buffer zone between the IDF and the Syrian forces, and there has been since 1973. And now, with the arrival of Hezbollah and the arrival of the Iranian the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps troops in Syria, they have now moved into that area, into that buffer zone, so they are very close to the Israeli border. Lieberman was on the Israeli side this past week. He was looking at Iranian positions through binoculars. That's how close they are. And he was warning them that Israel will not allow them to operate on the Golan. And again, a little over a week ago, the Israelis launched another airstrike on a Iranian airbase in central Syria. Now, you mentioned the Iranian general, Hassan Salami. He is the deputy commander of the Revolutionary Guards, and he was talking about this new Islamic army, including not just the Hezbollah troops in Syria, but including Afghans and Pakistanis and Iraqi troops who are there in Syria, now poised on Israel's border. Remember, we've talked a lot on the show, Jimmy, about opening up that land bridge between Iran and Lebanon, Syria, onto Israel's border. That's what he's talking about. Iran now has this presence, and he recognized Salami in his speech. He said Israel does not have any strategic depth and has admitted that Hezbollah has 100,000 missiles pointed at them. It's a threat. It was a pretty open threat to Israel.
And Israel's going to have to deal with it, so thus they have sent a number of Israeli Defense Force soldiers into the Golan Heights. They're massed there for whatever may take place. And in fact, that's moving toward that southeastern area of Syria where the civil war actually got underway about 7 years ago. And that's been a good time for Bashar Assad. He's had most of the world against him, but he has been capable of getting the Russians, the Iranians, also Hezbollah, as you mentioned just a moment ago, some from out of Turkey as well, to try to do what they needed to do to keep these forces, the opposition, from taking him down. Now he's going to have to change his focus. It looks like he's coming pretty close to the end of that civil war. And so, as I understand it, now Bashar Assad is determined to make the Syrians hate Israel again, so that because Israel has been so open, armed to take care of some of the Syrian refugees as well as Jordan. But now Assad has another task, make the Syrians hate Israel so he can lead that war against Israel and starting in the Golan Heights.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how successful he is. I tend to doubt it's going to work, Jimmy, because the type of anti-Semitism and Israel bashing that Arab dictators have used traditionally has thrived in the darkness, has been able to thrive when the peoples of their country do not have access either to Israeli individuals, to people, or to international news media. You mentioned that Israel has been taking in refugees. They have been providing medical services. They've been providing food, blankets. And so the Syrian refugees, who are tens of thousands of them, have had contact with Israelis. And guess what? They see that they are not monsters with 10-inch horns, but real people who actually are compassionate, friendly, and welcoming them with open arms, or at least trying to help them out with water, food, blankets, and things like that. So I think it's going to be hard for Assad now that Syrians have had physical contact with Israelis to revive those ancient hatreds.
What do you know about this report coming out of the Middle East as well, Ken, that the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, they of course started in Egypt, they have their tentacles all across the Middle East. This Muslim Brotherhood group has come to light in Syria, lashing out at not only Israel, but the United States as well. How significant is this?
Well, it's very important, very significant indeed. People need to recognize, Jimmy, that the Muslim Brotherhood is not a peaceful, nonviolent political organization as they often pretend to be. They were involved in overthrowing Gaddafi in Libya. They have been involved in overthrowing Mubarak in Egypt. They ran the government in Egypt for a while they were murdering Christians, murdering their opponents, tearing down churches. They are a violent jihadi organization that seeks what all jihadi organizations seek, which is to impose Sharia law, first on Muslims, but then on everybody else. They have a special place for the people, the so-called people of the book, Jews and Christians in particular. They will allow us to convert to Islam or pay the jizya, which is a kind of head tax, and accept to be smitten at the neck, to bow and to accept domination by Muslims. That's what they want to do. We should never be tricked by these kind of syrupy pronouncements that they like to make to Western reporters and to people like Barack Obama, that they are a peaceful political group. They are not. And it's dangerous to see them back in Syria, publicly talking about being back in Syria. They were there at the beginning of the civil war, and they now would like to maneuver to be there at the end victorious.
That's their ultimate goal. They're the granddaddy of all terrorist organizations. And one of their first students, a man named Yasser Arafat. That should give you all the commentary that you need. Ken, thank you so very much. Great report. Always wonderful insight. And from your background, having written so many books, having traveled into the regions of the world we're discussing, it's just so important to have you here at our broadcast table. We'll do it again next week. Thank you so much, my good friend.
Always my pleasure, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's a Middle East News update. David Dolan standing by. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.